Hello, everyone, and welcome to our new quarter class. This quarter, we're studying on Thursdays the parables of Jesus. You know what comes to mind when you hear the word parable? What parables come to mind when we use the title, the parables of Jesus? You know, Jesus wasn't the only one to use parables. Nathan the prophet used a parable in talking with David in 2 Samuel chapter 12. The prophet Isaiah used a parable in Isaiah chapter 5. But, you know, when we think about the subject of parables, we just almost immediately associate them with Jesus because of how many parables he told. In fact, someone estimated that a third of Jesus' teachings were in parable form. The parables of Jesus are special. They are delightful and fascinating and penetrating. They are revealing narratives. They are full of emotion and drama. They involve everyday life and everyday living, and yet they also concern themselves with God's eternal plan, purpose, and kingdom. And they're memorable. The parables of Jesus are fond to us. So many of us, while we may have struggles quoting scripture, book, chapter, and verse with certain verses, so many of us could tell Jesus' parables by heart and by memory because we remember them. They are stories that are vivid, that remain written on our hearts because of how close to home, how very personal they are to our everyday life. And so this quarter, we're going to spend some time looking at the parables of Jesus. We picked out about 20, 21 parables, and we're going to be looking at those parables one at a time. There are different lessons this quarter, and I hope this will be a blessing to us as we work through this study. I want to begin today, though, talking about just what is a parable? What are parables? And how should we approach studying the parables? What are some principles that we need to keep in mind? What are some keys that can help us to be able to study and learn the most from these parables, to be able to hear what it is that Jesus wants us to hear? In Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, the disciples came and said to Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" It's a good question. They knew it. It was obvious Jesus was saying a lot of parables. In fact, in Matthew chapter 13, he tells them 7 parables in that chapter. And so they asked the question, why do you teach in this way? Why do you teach in parables? Let's start with this question before we break into what Jesus says here about parables. Well, what are parables? How would you define a parable? You know, oftentimes in like a Bible class type setting, when we ask the question, what is a parable? The common answer is, well, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that's true. That's true. That's a simple way of understanding what a parable is. But you know, the word itself, parable, means to place beside or to cast alongside. It implies a comparison that is made. Oftentimes, the word that's found in many of Jesus' parables is the word like. Mark 4, verse 26, the kingdom of God is like. Matthew 13, verse 24, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to. And so we see that idea of comparison brought through the stories of Jesus. Sometimes Jesus will compare opposites, two opposites. And so we have the two men who went to pray in Luke 18. There's the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. 5 one way, 5 another way. You think of the 2 servants in Matthew 18. And so Jesus places 2 opposites aside each other in a story to illustrate truths. Sometimes it is an earthly reality that is placed beside a spiritual reality. And so you have the growth of a mustard seed to illustrate the growth of the kingdom. Or the same thing, the growth of leaven and how it grows naturally to illustrate its place beside of the growth of Christ's kingdom. And so that's all a parable simply is a parable is, it's an illustration. It is a story helping to convey and explain the truth in a very vivid and memorable way. Well, here in Matthew chapter 13, the disciples of Jesus ask the question, why do you teach this way? Why do you teach in parables? And here's what he says in verse 11. To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. He says in verse 12, for to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's hearts has grown dull, and with their eyes they can barely hear, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your eyes, for they hear. Truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So his answer begins by revealing from verse 11 that the apostles had the privilege of knowing the mysteries. The mysteries, they had access to the master, and thus they had access to the truth. But not everyone was this way. The truth was not getting through to some of the people. In fact, one of the first parables told here, beginning in verse, he explains it in verse 18. The parable began back in verse 4. It's a parable of the sower. And in that parable, he explains how there are some who receive the truth, and there are some who do not. There are some in which the seed was able to go into the soil, and soil received it and grew. And yet there were many in which did not. And so there were some who were not receiving the truth. And thus Jesus spoke in parables to help the people understand what he is trying to teach, to understand the principles of this kingdom by using these memorable and vivid stories, these vivid word pictures. And yet there's also a sense here. And so in one sense, he gave these parables to help explain and illustrate and to bring greater clarity to his truth. But there's also a sense, when you look in verse 14 and verse 15, that the parables were a means of concealing the truth. See, to the honest heart, these illustrations would bring further light and knowledge and understanding. But to the proud and rebellious and worldly hearts, these stories wouldn't make sense. No, those who had the honest and humble hearts to seek the truth, to listen closely, to be able to understand what Jesus is illustrating and to grasp the principle, these parables would have been enriching to their understanding. But to those who are simple-minded, to those who are closed off, who didn't really believe in Jesus anyway, none of this would make sense. And there is an appeal in reading the parables to come seeking for knowledge, to come looking for the truth, to come investigating to see what is this illustrating and what is the principle I am to glean from this truth, from this teaching. Well, in the parables of Jesus, one thing we see here is that there are a few principles that we need to understand before we begin. There's a few principles that will help us as we understand how to navigate and read and study these parables. Well, the parables are intended to illustrate doctrine, not to declare it. And there's a difference. They're not extensive. They don't give us every explanation, every detail about every principle. They illustrate through a story. They illustrate a principle, not declare the principle. We see that parables generally have three parts. There is the historic occasion that produced the parable, the context. So we've got to get the context of what's going on. There's the story itself, and then there's the lesson that the Lord intended to be derived from the parable. And so we've got to look for all three. What's the context of what's going on when Jesus told this parable? What is the story itself? Break down the story. And then, what's the point? What is the point that the Lord is driving here? What are we supposed to be hearing, gleaning, and understanding? Parables generally teach one main lesson. And I think that that's a problem when we read parables, is that we tend to try and make more out of these stories than what they are intended to. We do this when we try and symbolize everything in the stories. I mean, for instance, we look at the story of the prodigal son, which is a simple story. When you look at the context, Luke 15, 1 and 2, Jesus is teaching as an illustration of he who came to seek and save the lost, the heart of God who came to seek and save the lost, and the ugliness found in the hearts of the Pharisees who rejected those who were sinners that Jesus received. Well, sometimes we can look at stories like the prodigal son and we can try and make everything and that story something. We can look at the pigs and say, oh, the pigs are intended to show us the ugliness of sin in the world and the people of the world. And if you stay there, no, the pigs are just part of the story. The pigs, the mud, the pig pen. We don't need to make every bird and every tree and every story something. Get the main point. What is the main point, the main principle that Jesus is teaching from this story? We can get lost and trying to make every detail something rather than catching the one simple truth, the one simple principle. something to remember when we study the parables is that the parables of Jesus were based and rooted in reality. They were ideas that the people could relate with. And so he never used fables. He didn't use make-believe. He didn't use things like goblins or unicorns or fairies, make-believe lands. No, he grounded his stories in things that the people could relate with, identify with. Fishing and farming and servants and relationships between fathers and children and brothers. All of that in which people who were listening could have a similar experience with. And what we see is that the parables are memorable. They're easy to remember. Some are due to the challenging nature of them, and some are due to the fond nature of them because of just how rich the lessons are, what they teach us about God. It's important as we read these things to put yourself in the parable. Have I met myself in this parable? Do I see myself in the lessons here? And that's how I want to end our first lesson today, is I want to look at six keys to studying the parables. Six things that will help us as we study the parable. Six keys. Here's number one. Key number one, begin by reading the parable completely through. Don't stop along the way. Don't try and interpret as you're going along. Just read it. Read the whole story. Get the whole story first and foremost. After you've read it, look at the background. Go before it. And then maybe go a little bit after it. Why did Jesus teach this? Sometimes we say the four before, it may take a little longer, but read before the parable. What led up to this? Was Jesus talking with someone? Did something happen? Was there an issue? Was there an incident? Was there a question? What led to the parable? Catch the context. What's going on in the background here? Number three, our third key, is to look and read at the other gospel accounts, if there are parallel accounts, because there are some stories that are found in multiple gospels. And so look at the other gospels and see how Jesus words it in that gospel, how that one writer records that gospel, because there may be different words, there may be different details, there may be some different things in the context of those gospels that will help us understand why Jesus told the story. Key number four is understanding the concepts, the words, and the customs. Sometimes we miss valuable understanding when we assume details that we don't understand just because we don't place ourselves in the context of that time. For instance, you have Matthew 25 and the 10 virgins, and all that is in the context of a wedding. Well, a wedding today is not the same as a wedding back then. A Western wedding here in 21st century is very different than a wedding in the first century, and it would be helpful to understand the difference of why those women would have waited for the bridegroom to come and gather them. It was part of wrapped up in the culture of what weddings were like during that time, the process. Words such as tares, winepress, denarii, dragnet, all those are essential to understanding what the parable means. And so there are times in which after you've read through the parable and you've read the different accounts and you've read the context, go through and maybe with a good Bible dictionary, maybe if you have a good software on your computers, just do some digging. What do these words mean? And how were they used? How were these terms and things used and understood back in that time? Key number five is allow the Bible to give you the explanation of the parable, because oftentimes Jesus will explain his own parable. He will offer at the end of the stories he tells, sometimes in detail, sometimes in just a short statement, he will give the principle of what it was he was trying to teach. And so don't force an application, don't force an interpretation when Jesus already gives it. Let the Bible interpret itself. Let Jesus interpret his stories for us when he has given those explanations. And then key number six is to see the parable not just through our eyes, but to see it through the eyes of the audience. Well, obviously, we need to be able to pull it here, to pull it to the 21st century and say, okay, how can I live this and how can I walk it off the page? But we need to begin by asking the question, how would those people right there, those who are listening right there on the spot, how would they have taken this? How would they have understood it? What would they have thought with Jesus teaching these things at that time? I think if we do these six things, we're going to be blessed. We're going to come away understanding some great truths that Jesus intended us to understand from reading his parables. I'm excited to dig into the study with you. And so come back with me in the next couple of lessons and let's dig in and let's study some of these amazing parables given by our Lord. Thank you for tuning in with me, and I look forward to having you with us next time. Thank you so much. Have a great day.